Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in basic instruction before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. But all of our lessons and instructions this evening will be taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I'm still enthusiastic about it because we are continuing our study into the later chapters of the book of Isaiah. And we know that the study will expose all the prophecies of Isaiah, the prophet, about the Messiah of Israel, which points directly to Jesus the Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies actually gives a vivid description of the Savior to be. Now, many theologians today constantly use verses from the manuscript of Isaiah, and the Jews consider Isaiah a major prophet. His writings are also revered by both Jews and Christians alike. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops and your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which during that time, you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time again to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using, my precious brothers and sisters. Thank you so very much. As the theme song for the show suggests, the question this hour again is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said, if you humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, I will heal you. That's taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Now, the promise is God will heal you if you pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. God said through Solomon, trust in me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your steps. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Now, the promise is that your steps will be directed by God. If you trust in him with all your heart, you lean not onto your own understanding and acknowledge him. God said through David, if you set your love upon him, he will deliver you with long life. He will satisfy you and show you his salvation. Now, the promise is being shown the salvation of God. If you love him and you set your love upon him, he will deliver you and give you long life. That's in Psalms 91, verse 14 through 16. Now, the question to you again, my brothers and sisters listening out there, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get started, what I want to do is give you the understanding, as I always do, that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Now, let's go to the study. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 57. Now, there are 66 chapters written in the book of Isaiah. We're on chapter 57. We're going to read verse 1 and verse 2. And the instruction is instruction number 81. And I've written 101 instructions for this series. So we're on instruction number 81. And the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text, the righteous shall be saved. That's what I want you to pay attention to, my brothers and sisters, as I read the text. The righteous will be saved. Now, here's what Isaiah the prophet told Israel in chapter 57 of his writing, verse 1 and 2. He says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. So that is telling Israel what will happen to the righteous. They shall be saved by God. And now we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see what the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 6 through 11, what Paul teaches the Romans about this, connecting the dot. Romans chapter 4, verse 6 through 11. And this is what Paul taught the Romans. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? This is the way to righteousness, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. And you know Jesus died for our sins. So that is part of our acceptance of righteousness, receiving that. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Remember, Abraham believed God, and he assigned it to him as righteousness. And that was before circumcision had become part of the law. So this is what Paul continues to say. How was it then, when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? And I just mentioned that he was uncircumcised at the time, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised received, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though he be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters. So, physical circumcision is not required for salvation through righteousness. And the example that Paul gave us about Abraham and being unrighteous, God assigned to him righteousness, that is so key for us to know. That's the connection. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives right now, that Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And we know that righteousness is your faith in God and keeping his commandments. Now, we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none that are righteous, no, not one. That's what Paul said. So we know that we, all who are human today, are sinners. So that is why Jesus came, to make us righteous through his blood. And that's what I want you to understand as the instruction, the lesson from the instruction that I just gave you. Now, as we're getting ready to approach the break, I'm going to stop talking after the music starts. But now we're going to go to after the break, we'll continue.
When we're laying on our deathbed, you're not going to worry about how much money you had, how much power you had, how much prestige. You're going to see that that was all game, that that was all an illusion. The only thing that's going to matter is the impact you had on other people's lives.
We are all on a separate journey. But the beautiful thing about our life here on this earth is at my funeral, they ain't gonna talk about my success. They're gonna talk about who Nick was and how Nick lived and how Nick loved and encouraged.
Success is incredibly important, but even more important than success, it's having an impact. It's knowing you haven't walked the planet in vain. It's knowing that because you've been here, you've blessed lives, you've developed people, and you have made the world a better place.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Everything you gain in life will rot and fall apart. And all that will be left of you is what was in your heart.
Life is a mirror. And life gives us not what we want. Life gives us who we are. When you were born, you cried while the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Hallelujah, my precious brothers and sisters. Let us continue. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 57, as we are already in. We're going to be looking at verse 12 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 12 and verse 13. And we're also going to look at verse 20 and 21. But 82 is the number of the instruction that we're on. And this is what I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. The unrighteous shall not prosper. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Those who are unrighteous shall not prosper. And this is what Isaiah chapter 57, verse 12 and 13 says about that. I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, where they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Now we're going to go to verse 20 and verse 21 to conclude the thought. And this is what Paul is telling Israel about the unrighteous. Actually, he's identifying wickedness. This is what verse 19 says, or verse 20 says. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cease or cast up mire and dirt. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is the unrighteous that he's talking about. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So that is the profit, or what you will not receive for being wicked. That is, you are going to have no peace. And now we're going to go to the New Testament complement and see what Paul has to say about this connecting the dot, comparing and agreeing. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And this is what Paul has to add to that or connect the dot from what Isaiah told the Israelites. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So, he says, identifying unrighteousness, he says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul more explicitly identified some of the wickedness that Isaiah was referring to in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 12, 13, verse 20, and 21. And so wickedness is more broadly than this, but this is what Paul specifically identified. So this is what it should mean to us, my brothers and sisters, and to us spiritually in our lives, that if you don't believe in God through Jesus Christ and keep his commandments, you will be unprofitable with God in this life. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? If you do not believe in God through Jesus Christ, that is key. God only is insufficient. God and Jesus Christ. Keeping God's commandments is only insufficient. If you do not keep the words of his son's kingdom and patience, that is what's going to make you profitable this side of eternity. And that's what I want you to understand through this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Isaiah. This time we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5. And the instruction is instruction number 83. And this is the instruction, and I want you to pay attention to it as I read the text to you. Seek God correctly. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? There is a right way to seek God. This is the correct way. And this is what Isaiah told the Israelites at the time. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 through 5. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. This is what Isaiah the prophet is telling Israel. Look, cry aloud. We're asking God to give us what we need to know, and he's getting ready to do that. The rest of the verse says, and the house of Jacob their sins. This is what we're supposed to see, and God is supposed to give this to us. We're supposed to look to God for the answers. Verse 2 says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. Now, it tells Isaiah, saying, you think that you're doing correctly? You are acting like it, but you're not doing what you're acting like. And this is the continuation of the verse. It says, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. The Isaiah prophet is telling Israel that, look, you're acting like you love God and you want to be a part of God. But are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Verse 3 says, wherefore have we fasted? These are the Israelites telling God through the prophet, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, God says to them, in the day of your fast, ye find your own pleasures and exact your own laborers. Behold, God tells the Israelites through the prophet, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? So the prophet is telling Israel, look, God is telling you what you're doing is insufficient. Now what we want to do is go to our New Testament complement, we want to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And this is how Paul is telling the Christians at Corinth, or not at Corinth, at Colossia, what they should be doing and what they're not doing in seeking God correctly. And this is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What Christ tells you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what Christ is telling us. Verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Jesus, again, he said, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but the meat that endureth unto eternal life. So this is what Paul is telling Colossia, and that's the connection. You seek God correctly, and you will prosper. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that spiritual things must be our first priority. The Holy Ghost and the spiritual gifts and fruits of God, that is what we must seek, my brothers and sisters. That's what I'm trying to say. And the only way you can seek those things correctly, if you have been born again and have the indwelling and are espousing and applying the gifts and fruits of God through the Holy Ghost. That's the instruction that I want you to get from this particular lesson. Okay, let's go to the next chapter or the next, after the break, we'll continue.
Is a constant battle for your soul going on all the time. You see, your soul is important to the devil. He wants your soul. He'll pay any price. And some of you are selling your soul so cheaply. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The devil will give you the whole world if you'll follow him. But some of you will follow him and he won't give you anything. You're just following him because you're like the pig that's following the man that's dropping the beans, going to the slaughter pen. Every little bit he drops a bean, and the pig goes following right along. And you don't even think that you're following the devil in the wrong direction. Yes, Jesus Christ is the highway to heaven. But be aware, no man cometh to the Father but by me, he said.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue on. We're going to Isaiah chapter 58. We're back in Isaiah chapter 58. Remember, there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, and this is where we are. Chapter 58, verse 6 through 12 is what I'm going to read. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 through 12, and we're on instruction number 84. And remember, I mentioned that there are 101 instructions I've written for this series of study. Now, this is what the instruction says, and this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. This is the fast and benefits that God has chosen for us. This is the fast and benefits that God has chosen for us. Remember, the last instruction was to seek God correctly. Now, this is what God is telling us is correct. And this is what Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 through 12 says. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Isaiah is telling Israel that these are the elements that we must practice in order to be correct with God. This is considered his fast, not that physical fast that we always hear about, but this is a spiritual fast. It continues in verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord will be thy real reward. And we can see that Isaiah is telling the Israelites that if they just do what I just said in his verses, that we will receive the benefits for fasting correctly. And in addition to that, this is what Isaiah adds in verse 9, then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, that means worldliness, the putting forth of the finger, that means judging, and speaking vanity, that means going after wealthy, worldly things. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And Paul continues to emphasize what benefits we will receive, or Israel will receive, in verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. That is the fast that God has chosen, my brothers and sisters, and more especially he has said this to the Israelites through the prophet Isaiah. And the benefits from doing this chosen fast, he just delineated verbatim. Now what we're going to do, we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how today we are told to accomplish this fast. And this is what 1 Peter tells us in chapter 1, verse 4 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 through 10. This is what Peter tells us, and this is connecting the dot. This is the fast and the benefits that you'll receive from it. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The divine nature, that is the fast. We are to fast spiritually. And this is what Peter is talking about, telling us verbatim. And beside this, my brothers and sisters, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you, this fast, this spiritual fast, if it shall be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, meaning if you're doing a physical fast instead of the spiritual fast, you are blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. That is so significant. That's what Peter is telling us today. He's telling the Christians that right now, that's what we should be applying and doing. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That spiritual application of heavenly attributes will give you satisfaction here on earth and salvation to come in heaven. When Peter says these are the attributes, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Those are your spiritual attributes, my brothers and sisters. That's your fast. And of course, we know that there are physical applications to that, but it's the spirit first, then the flesh. Remember, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the fast, and the rest will be added unto you. That's what I want you to understand and take from this particular instruction that I just gave. Okay. Now we're going back to Isaiah, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 59. And we're going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 through 8. And the instruction is instruction number 85. And this is what I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. God will not respond to the ungodly. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God will not respond to the ungodly. And this is why Israel was told this by Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59, if you have your sources open, read along with me. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 through 8. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and that he will not hear. Okay, my brothers and sisters, if you're not walking correctly, seeking correctly, doing the correct fast, this is the result. Verse 3 says, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, none nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. If you're doing physical things instead of spiritual things, that's not good enough. The spiritual things come first. Verse 5 says, they hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their egg die, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is the response that you get from ungodliness. The way of peace, they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall know no peace. That is what you lose from your ungodly acts. And now what we're going to do is go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see what Luke chapter 13, verse 27 and 28 says about this connecting the dot. Luke chapter 13, verse 27 and 28, and this is what Jesus illuminates to us. And he told this to his apostles. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. If you do not listen correctly to what Jesus is telling us, the end result is what he just told, or we just read in Luke chapter 14, or chapter 13, verse 27 and 28. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that judgment is the only reward you get for your works that are ungodly. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? And the break is about ready to start, and I'll continue to talk until it starts. But then when we break, I'll be quiet.
Let me speak to that person that feels like they lost their worth and their value. This is a dollar bill. Now, if I go to the store and there's something for 90 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, if I go to the store and there's something for 85 cents and after tax, it ends up being 96 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, what if I ball the dollar bill up? Think about it now. Like, I just balled the dollar bill up. Like, so it can't be worth a dollar now. It's probably worth like 95 cents, right? How much do you think it's worth? A dollar, listen, y'all gotta pay attention. I just balled it up, so clearly it's not worth a dollar anymore. All right, so maybe, what if I step on it? What if I stomp it? I just stomped it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 65 cents, 68 cents? It's still worth a dollar? Okay, what if I ball it up? What if I stomp on it? And then I put it in the trash can. And it's in here with some trash. And it's around some beer and some gum and a bunch of other nasty stuff. And some guy off the street pulls the dollar out, unfolds it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 82 cents? At least 92 cents? Alright, so what if I ball it up? What if I step on it? What if I put it in trash? And then, watch this, I tear it in half. Think about it now, right? How much is it worth now? A dollar? I could tape it? Wait.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters. We're back, and I'm going to complete the thought that I was trying to relay before the break started. We are looking at God will not respond to ungodliness. We know through Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 through 8, he identifies why he will not respond to us. It's because of sin. And it was reiterated by Jesus in Luke chapter 13, verse 27 and 28, that's why God will not respond to us. Now, this is what I want us to understand from this instruction spiritually in our lives, that judgment is the only reward we get for our works that are ungodly. Now, you have to understand that judgment stands for correction or discipline or chastisement or rebuke or reproof or rebuff or reprimand or punishment or destruction. So we can see that ungodliness falls into those six realms, from correction, which would consider it minor, to destruction, which will completely destroy. Now, that is what ungodliness gives us in judgment, and that is the only way it is treated. So God knows how he's going to do that. What I want you to understand is that is what ungodliness is going to give us, one of those seven categories. And we thank God for repentance, because if we can repent and be worthy to repent and be faithful in our repentance, then we will be least in the judgment that is received. Now, every work is going to be judged, because we know that's what the Bible teaches, Old Testament and New teaches. No, Old Testament and New Testament. And in fact, in the book of Revelations, it tells us that at the white throne of judgment, that we will be judged according to our works. So we know that judgment will be the instrument that's going to resolve the matter of what we do. And we have to pay attention to that. That's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Now let us go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 59 again. We're going to look at verse 21 or 20 and 21. And this is the instruction, which is number 86. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses. The covenant for a Messiah. Now this is what Israel is still looking for today, my brothers and sisters, because the Messiah has not come as far as the Orthodox Jews are concerned. The Messianic Jews believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But this is the covenant that Isaiah gave Israel way before Jesus, for sure. And this is what 59:20-21 says. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Ask for me, this is my covenant with them. This is the covenant, my brothers and sisters, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon me, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from hence and forevermore. That is the covenant. Of course, there are many covenants that God made with Israel, starting with Abraham. And so we also have many New Testament covenants that we look at. For instance, the one with remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ and the Great Commission covenant. There are many covenants, and this is the indication of the Messiah. Now we're going to go to the New Testament complement. We're going to look at, from the book of Acts, we're going to look at verse 4 and verse 5, and then we're going to read about a covenant. This is the connection. This is what Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, telling his apostles. And being assembled together with them, that was Jesus with his apostles, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That is another covenant from God, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is what Jesus told Israel, or told his apostles. And we are being told today that we must be born again before the covenant can give us the benefit thereof, meaning the gifts and fruits of the Holy Ghost. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus gave his life for our redemption, that the greatest covenant, because it includes all humanity. And that means God said, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all, so it's the world, even the ungodly in this instance, are covered in this covenant of the Messiah. But that's how great it is, and that's what I want you to know, that Jesus is the answer. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to read verse 1 through 3, and then verse 12, 19, and 20. This is in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. We know that there are 66 books in or 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. We're on chapter number 60, and we're on instruction number 87 out of 101, and this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind or pay attention to as I read the text. When God glorifies himself, all will be glory. Amen, my brothers and sisters. To God be the glory, because this all will be glorious in that day. So remember, when God glorifies himself, all will be glory. And this is how Isaiah told Israel it shall be. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is written upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings in the brightness of all thy rising. So this is again telling us why that significant covenant in the book of Acts is so important, that all, not only Israel, but even the Gentiles shall receive benefit from God's glory. Now, verse 12 continues the thought by saying, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Verse 19 and 20 completes the thought. The sun shall be no more, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy glory, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thy everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. So Isaiah is telling Israel about the end time glory. All right? There are many minor glories, if you will, but the glory of all glory, like in the temple, the innermost sanctum sanctorum, the holies of holy, the glory of all glories will be at the end. And that's what Isaiah is relating to the Israelites in this prophecy. Now what we're going to do, we're going to go to the book of Revelations, and we're going to see exactly what I'm telling you about that glory of glories. Because in the book of Revelations, chapter 21, verse 1 through 3, and then verse 22 through 26, give us the understanding of what I just said. And if the if we run into a break before I finish, then we'll stop until the break concludes. If not, I'll continue to talk. So the break is on.
At a young age, we find ourselves searching for direction and purpose. While taking the time to observe the greats that have done this before us and modeling their footsteps to match our own. I have a fond memory of a leader like this. His name was Ralph Balducci, my 8th grade football coach. It was his first year coaching our team, but when he stepped on the field, you could see this passion and desire in his eyes. As the year went on, his belief in us grew stronger, and our own success started drawing our team closer together. Our belief in our shared values took us farther than just the game of football. Our friendship and trust in each other also grew stronger. It was all because of one man caring so much to inspire a young group of kids to achieve something great. Leadership is not a position awarded to an individual. It's the individual's desire to lay the foundation for others to follow and help them find the courage to do something that may otherwise seem impossible. We all need great leaders in our lives to help us through the hard times and inspire us to do great things. Because once we go through the experience of following great leadership, we find ourselves developing the leadership traits that will soon inspire the next group of individuals looking for direction and purpose. Become that next leader that uplifts others' motivation to develop the passion for opportunities yet to come.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Hallelujah, my precious brothers and sisters. Here we go again. Let us continue with this instruction, number 87. When God glorifies himself, all will be glory. And we know from reading Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3, verse 12, verse 19, and verse 20, how the end time, the glory of the end time will be the glory of glories, if you will. And we were just now going to Revelations, the New Testament complement, to see how this connects that dot, meaning compares and agrees with what Isaiah told Israel. This is what the Spirit is telling the churches in Revelations chapter 21. Verse 1 through 3, this is what it says about that glory of glories. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, before we continue, that the glory of that tabernacle with God is already a part of our experience. It is not what I just mentioned, the glory of glories, but we are receiving some of that minor glory now. For Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, that if you believe me, if you keep my words, or if you love me, Jesus said, and if you keep my words, the Father will love you, and he and I will come and make our abode in you. That is the indwelling. That is part of the glory that we're just hearing, that tabernacle with God and his Son and the Holy Spirit. We have that available to us right now because of our faith and our love and our working that faith and love. Now let us go to verse 22 through 26 in Revelation chapter 21, and it'll conclude or complete the thought. This is what it says. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. This is the end glory, the glory of glories. This is what it should mean to us, my brothers and sisters, right now, spiritually in our lives, that the glory of God is twofold. Right now, if you come to Jesus, you will receive the Comforter glory, if you will. That's the minor glory I was telling you about, or one of the minor glories. And when you pass on, you will receive the eternal glory, his ultimate presence, and that is the glory of glories. That's what I want you to understand from this instruction, that the glory of God is twofold, and we can receive part of that glory right now. We do not have to wait until we transition into heaven. We can receive it right now. Now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 61. We're going to look at verse 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3, and this is the instruction number 88, and out of this instruction, this is what I want you to listen to and pay attention to as I read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3. This is the instruction I want you to consider and keep in mind as I read the main text. The 10 appointed anointings from God. Now, of course, there are many more anointings than these 10, but these are 10 that are identified to Israel through Isaiah that even Jesus himself mentioned in the gospel to his apostles and disciples concerning these anointings from God. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3. 1 through 3. This is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. That's number one. Now, the good tidings is preaching and teaching, witnessing and testifying, admonishing and edifying. And it's to the meek. It's not to the haughty or to the proud of heart. It's to the meek, the humble, the lowly of spirit. That's number one. Number two, he had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, meaning those who are suffering because of worldliness and lack of godliness, and it's breaking you up. We know that the Savior has come to bind us, to clear the way for us to receive godliness. Number three, to proclaim liberty to the captives, that they may be set free. Jesus, the Savior of the world, is and has come. Number four, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, that now forgiveness of sin through the body and blood of Jesus Christ is setting us free. It is giving, making us unshackled from sin. That is critical. Number five, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Right now, my brothers and sisters, is the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. The day God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense, I will repay. That is critical. Number seven, to comfort all that mourn. That is telling us those who were waiting on the Messiah to come for a better day, the Messiah has arrived. Number eight, to appoint unto them that are in Zion. Now, this is what Jesus gives us, and this is what Isaiah is telling Israel is going to be the anointing, one of the anointings from God. Beauty for ashes. Nine, the oil of joy for mourning. 10, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Those are the 10 anointings that Israel is telling, or that Isaiah is telling Israel they shall receive from the Messiah. And now we're going to go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to look at Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 2 through 12.
There with a question. The question is, I can't understand the spiritual heavenly bodies we will have when we go to heaven.
Amen. That's a good question. The spiritual heavenly bodies will be just what you just identified. There will be spiritual. Now, the way that you can conceive of that is what is inside of you, he who asked or whoever asked the question, that which is inside of you that causes you to see and to hear and to understand, to breathe in and out. That is your spirit. That's your soul. And that is what's going to be minus the flesh when we get to heaven. It won't be incarcerated in the physical body. It will be separated, and it will be more apparent than it is now. We have the flesh that's running interference, but it's that which is inside of us, the soul, the spirit. That is that heavenly body we're talking about. Okay, any other question? And if whoever asked that question, if that doesn't satisfy you, give me a write me a comment, and I'll write back to you and give you more details. Okay, is any more questions on that? All right, so we'll continue. This is what Jesus says about the anointing. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 2 through 12, this is what Jesus says, and it looks like that I may run out of time, but anyway, this is what I'm going to tell you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's an anointing. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What I want to do, my brothers and sisters, is focus on Matthew chapter 5, verse 2 through 12, and that's going to give you the connection to this instruction. Now, because we've run out of time, this completes the lesson for this evening. And as we are signing off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and your encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. BIBLE.